Forquinque Jesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spat upon, and after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day, he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight, and following him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And they understood none of these things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we have 2.5-3 days until the beginning of Lent. A truly holy season and a season of opportunity, which so often goes without proper consideration. And I think that it is important for us to make sure that we are going to enter that holy season properly. It is of no wonder that Holy Mother of the Church presents to us the gospel that she presents to us today, where our Lord is speaking to his apostles and telling them, "We are going up to Jerusalem. We are entering Lent." The same journey that the apostles were asked by our Lord to make, we are asked to make during Lent. A denial of self, the taking up of our cross, and the following of Christ. But whether or not we do that will make all the difference of whether or not we have a good Lent. And a good Lent means a good Easter. And a good Easter is about having part with Christ in his victory over the devil, over death, and over sin. This is what's being offered to us. Now, we can go into Lent blind, or we can ask our Lord for the grace not to be blind, like the man in today's gospel. Lord, that I may see. That's a good prayer. I was taking a look at the gospel, and oftentimes I like to look at the surrounding events of the event that Holy Mother of the Church, or the gospel that Holy Mother of the Church presents to us on a given feast day or day, or especially on the Sundays. And today comes from the 18th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. Now, in the 18th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, Christ begins with the parable of the unjust judge who didn't care about man, didn't care about the laws of God, but because a woman kept bothering him, he finally listened to her and helped her out. And then Christ says, well, do you think if an unjust judge would do that because he doesn't want to be bothered, how much more so your Heavenly Father who cares for you, how he would help you? But at the end of that parable, he says something very interesting. He says, when the Son of Man comes a second time upon the face of the earth, do you think he will find faith? Faith. We heard of that in the epistle where St. Paul says, thereby these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And then in the gospel where the blind man, Christ says, go thy way. Your faith has saved you. So faith is very important. Now that's where we consider our own faith. What's my faith like? In here, it's important for us to be very serious. It can't be just, well, you know, I believe. I mean, I know that stuff. No. True belief promotes a hope, which perfects a love. There are by these three, faith, hope, and love, are charity. And the greatest of these is charity. But you can't have charity unless you have hope or faith, the theological virtues. So we have to consider our faith. Not just the Sunday thing that we do every week, but what is our faith like? Do I really believe in all that has been revealed to us by God or his agents? Believe to the extent that I live accordingly. And we're not here to point out to our neighbor. We're here to judge ourselves and to examine ourselves. Because it's at that point, then we can start making progress ourselves. And then we can, when we make progress ourselves, then we have a greater opportunity to help our neighbor. What is my faith in Christ like? Is it non-existent? Is it barely existent? Is it thriving? Well, if it's not thriving, then it's imperfect, and it's a problem. Let us not make any bones about it, and let us wake ourselves up to the reality of the world that we live in. We live in a faithless, godless world, where God is pointed to as a pacifier at best, something to hold on to when there's a need. But when there's not a need, there's not a relationship. That's not faith. Christ says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Do you think we're living in these times when Christ is talking about, was looking at? Are we heading towards those times? I think so. When the Son of Man comes upon the earth a second time, do you think he will find faith? The question comes down, does he find it in me? When I'm here at Mass, do I adore him? Do I thank him? Do I petition him? Do I have contrition, true contrition, for anything I might have done to offend him? We go along with that Gospel of St. Luke, the next part, Christ addresses, he tells the parable of the two men who go to the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee, one is a publican. One of the late Father Abbott's favorite parts in Scripture. The two go to the temple. The two go to the temple to pray. So far, so good. One comes in and doesn't say anything close to a prayer, full of pride and arrogance and self-promoting, even to the extent of a mental abuse of his neighbor. His prayer was non-existent. It wasn't just a bad prayer, it was a non-prayer. The other one comes in, kneels down, recognizes who he is before the Lord, and says, "Have mercy upon me, a sinner." And our Lord says they both went home, but only one went home justified. Why? Because one went home with the Lord. The other went home with himself. We continue along with the gospel, and we see that the little children are wanting to go to our Lord, and the apostles trying to keep them back. And that's when our Lord says, "Suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever does not accept the kingdom of heaven as a child will not enter." A child. Do we have a childlike faith in our Heavenly Father? Just like a child has faith in their father to protect them, to care for them. A child has faith in their mother to love and nurture them. Good fathers, good mothers anyways. What is my relationship like with my Heavenly Father? Is it just our Father who art in heaven and that's it? Because that doesn't seem like a very good relationship. To get back and to tie both of the parts of the Gospels in together, prayer and our relationship with our Heavenly Father, maybe there's something that needs to be changed. Here, ask yourself these questions. Do I start my day off with God? Do I end my day with God? Do I ask Him for the help that I need to have a good day and to make good use of the graces given to me this day? And thank Him for the opportunity of, thanking Him for another opportunity to strive to become closer and a more perfect child of His. At the end of the day, do I get on my knees and thank Him for all the graces, apologize for all the mistakes? How about throughout the day? I'm not just talking about grace before and after meals. I'm talking about how many times have you had a conversation with Him throughout the day? Just you and Him, lifting your heart, mind, and soul to God, thanking Him for grace, asking for His help, listening to Him. Isn't that what prayer is? A conversation with God? So many people think prayer is about picking up a book and saying some words out of there. No, it's way more than that. It's about communication with God. And communication with God means speaking and listening. Then the next part of the gospel is the rich young man. This man comes up to our Lord and says, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" Good question. He asked a very good question, and it was sincere. And Christ says, "Live the commandments." And the rich young man says, in all honesty, that he's done that since his childhood. And it says, in one of the versions of the same event, it says that our Lord looked at him and loved him, and then said to him, "If then thou wilt be perfect, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Go sell all you have, give it to the poor, you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And it says, and the rich young man went away sad. You see, God gives us special opportunities of grace. Just like you and I have in this upcoming Lenten season. It's an opportunity of grace given to us. And whenever we ignore, reject, or don't use grace properly, we walk away sad because we walk away without Him, or a diminishment of our connection with Him. And that's where Christ says it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And then Christ promises, or the apostles are like, well, we've left everything, what do we get? And that's where our Lord says, a hundredfold in this life and life everlasting. God will not be outdone in generosity, ever. So many young people who God has given a vocation to have rejected it because they want to live for the now, and they forget, no, we're supposed to bear up treasure in heaven. But I want to do this, and I want to do this. Okay, yes, that's fine, all fine and good, but what does God want you to do? When it's all said and done, all the things that you're able to accomplish, if you have to stand before God and know that you haven't done His will, kind of puts another whole perspective on thy kingdom come, thy will be done, doesn't it? But God gives us those graces, and when those graces are given to us, we have an opportunity to accept them or to reject them. The next part in the gospel is the prediction that we read in today's gospel about His passion and death. It says in the apostles, they didn't understand these things. The apostles didn't have a very good first Lent. And some of them messed up really big. And then the event of the blind man is the thing that concludes the chapter. And so providential, because it's a good lesson for us. Okay, if we recognize that we are blind, we have the remedy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What is it that you want? That I may see. If you're sincere in that prayer, you will see. And you will know. And you'll be able to do. So as we go in through Lent, we have a few days left. If we haven't done so already, let's make our resolutions. Set up that schedule of prayer and penance. Doesn't have to be very big, but better. How about better prayer, better penance? What's your main penance is your daily duty. But then those other things that we would probably be really good for us to give up, don't you think? Like maybe turn off the TV, social media, sit down and do some more spiritual reading, some more spiritual exercises. How much effort we make to go on a vacation or to go to this event or that event or this social outing, and how little effort we make to come visit the good Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. But if you did, what He has that He wants to share with you is amazing. And let us consider the reason why we're doing this and why we're going to Lent. It's given to us in today's epistle. It's about charity. It's about our love for God. The epistle, St. Paul makes no bones about it. This is charity, this is not. If you think this is all charity, well, you're kidding yourself, because it's not. This is what charity is. Interesting thing, I like reading this sermon, or this part of the epistle, for a meditation from time to time. You can take the word charity out and replace it with the word Christ, and it makes perfect sense. Because Christ is charity. But then the examination comes in when you take out the word Christ, where the word charity used to be, and replace it with your name, and ask yourself if that's who you are. You see, my friends, the things that we do will only have value if it's connected to the honor and the glory of God, for the love of God. So my last thought to you is this, before we enter into Lent. And it comes from a reminder that I had when I went into a sacristy in the church in London, Ontario. When I first was a priest, there was a plaque in the sacristy. It says, "Priest of God, offer this Mass as if it was your first Mass, as if it was your last Mass, as if it was your only Mass." And that's very good for us. We can apply it to ourselves when we receive Holy Communion. Receive Holy Communion today as if it was your first Holy Communion, as if it was your last Holy Communion, as if it was your only Holy Communion. And you can apply it to Lent. Go through this Lent as if it was your first Lent, as if it was your last Lent, as if it was your only Lent. I remember this one person was told about that. He had talked to a priest and says, "I'm going to make this the best Lent, like it's my last Lent. I'm going to make it my best." And to all extent and purposes and outward appearances, apparently he did. 3 weeks after Easter, we had his funeral. And the reason I know about this, I was a kid at the time, but it made such an impression on me. The reason I know about it, because it was said in his eulogy by the priest who he said it to. So let's make this a good and holy Lent. Let's make good use of the opportunity given to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.